Martin Luther said, "This one and firm rock, which we call the doctrine of justification, is the chief article of the whole of Christian doctrine, which encompasses the understanding of all godliness." Martin Luther was a Catholic priest and a professor of theology. Between 1513 and 1516, he began a careful exegetical study of the Old Testament book of Psalms and the New Testament book of Romans. During those years, from those studies, he came to comprehend the all-encompassing grace of God and the all-sufficient merit of Christ. As a Catholic theologian, his eyes were open to the truth that salvation is a gift from God through grace alone, through Christ alone, through faith alone. It was not long after God opened Martin Luther's eyes to the truth of justification that he became enraged with the practice of selling indulgences in the church. Martin Luther railed against the thought that forgiveness of sin could be bought by someone. And of course, on October 31st, All Hallows' Eve of 1517, he went to the castle church door in Wittenberg and posted his famous 95 theses there on the church door. You need to remember that in that day and age, the church door functioned as a bulletin board. Many believe that Martin posted those theses on the night of October 31st, because as most of us know, November the 1st is All Saints' Day, and in the 1500s, all Christians went to church on All Saints' Day. Therefore, Martin had cast his first shot at what he called the sin of the church. You know that in 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was condemned as a heretic. He was granted safe passage back home, but before he had left that small town in Germany, a warrant had already been put out for his arrest. He was taken by a noble back to a castle where he was afforded protection. And there in that castle, over a period of several years, he began to translate the Bible from Latin into his native tongue of German. The translation of the Bible from Latin into the common language of the people of Germany sparked what we call today the Protestant Reformation. I must remind us this morning, as we continue with God's unbreakable chain in Romans 8, 29 and 30, that the battle cry of the Protestant Reformation was justification by grace alone, through Christ alone, by faith alone. A reformation that would sweep from Germany across the continent of Europe, and finally, it would land its feet on Scottish soil, where a reformer by the name of John Knox would serve the Cunningham family the first Protestant Lord's Supper on Scottish soil. This morning it is with great humility, yet with great honor, that I take my place with a long list of reformers who believe in the doctrine of justification through grace alone, through Christ alone, and through faith alone. This morning, I pray that God will open our eyes to the truth of this doctrine. I've had many of you over the last few weeks, as we've looked at these individual links in the chain, say, I finally get it. I finally understand it. Please, let's make sure we get this fourth link this morning. It's the link of justification. In Romans 8, 29 and 30, the Bible says, for those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. We need to put a parenthesis there. And sisters, because that word entails the whole family. And verse 30 says, those whom He predestined, He also called. And those whom He called, He also justified. And those whom He justified, He also glorified. We are looking at what I believe is God's unbreakable chain. This chain, which reveals to us five activities of God, tell us why all things work together for good in the life of a person who loves God, who has been called according to God's purpose. These five actions of God reveal to you and I why we are eternally secure. You're going to understand why Paul can ask, if God be for us, who can be against us? This morning we take up the fourth link. Please understand, many of our forefathers sacrificed their life for the doctrine we're going to talk about this morning. Please understand its importance. And those whom He called, He also justified. 2 weeks ago, we shared with you that we believe that this activity of God calling is an effectual call. It's the act of God whereby He enables and persuades a sinner to believe the gospel. Here's how this can be read with Brother Ricky's expanded translation. And those whom He enabled and persuaded to believe the gospel, He also, what? Justified. The word justified is the Greek word dikaio. Dikaio as a root is translated into English by two English words. One word is the word just. The other word is the word righteous. Now, it's kind of confusing, but please understand, when you're reading your English Bible and you see the word righteous or righteousness or right, and you see the word just or justified, both of those English words are translating the same Greek root word. Now, I don't know why we have all the English words we have, but I assume we need them all. I do not believe we have a verb for righteous. Is that correct? We don't have a verb for the word right. We don't say He righted it. But for the word just, We have a verb. Justify. Or justify. So please understand that in the Bible, when you see the word righteousness, it's referring to this word, but in a noun capacity. And when you see the word justify or justified or justifying, you're looking at this word in a verb form. Does that make sense? Now, and here's what I want us to understand when we think about this fourth link in God's unbreakable chain, because reformers fought and died for this teaching. At the root of this word justified is this concept. A person is made or declared right with God. When the Bible says those whom He enabled and persuaded to believe the gospel, He also justified, here's what the Bible's teaching. And those whom God enabled and persuaded to believe the gospel, He also placed them or brought them into a right relationship with Himself. When you understand this action of God, please see it for what it is. It means that those people who were sinners and were all wrong with God, they have now been made right with God. If God called you through the gospel, He called you in order to make you a sinner right with Him. This big fancy word justified basically means this. It means sinners are put into a right relationship with God and they're not wrong with Him anymore. What you just heard me say is the scandal of Christianity. It's the scandal of Reformed or Grace churches. How can God in heaven declare or make a sinner right with Himself? Doesn't that sound unthinkable? As a matter of fact, if you examine every religion of the world, they're all based on man trying to make himself right with his God. All mankind knows he's wronged his God. But when man initiates the salvation process, man initiates the salvation process this way because he's done something wrong. Therefore, unright, he must have to do something right in order to be made right. And religion is a life of trying to do the right things to earn a right relationship with God. And within Christianity itself, many Christians will meet in the name of the church this morning and they will declare that same message. That you, by an act of yourself, must do certain things before you can be brought into a right relationship with God. The scandal of the Reformation. The scandal of Hardin Baptist Church. And if you don't believe that, just take this message out into the highways of this community and to announce to people that the only way they can be brought into a right relationship with God is by His grace through His Son Jesus Christ and by faith alone, and see what reaction you get. Because what the Reformers and Brother Ricky and this church stand on is this truth. Justification is an act of God alone. We in no sense make ourselves right with God or justify ourselves in the sight of God. God declares us right. God declares us just. God brings us by His own act into a right relationship with Himself. Now can I ask you this question? How can God do that and be just? In Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 1, and in Proverbs 17, 15, He declared, don't declare the guilty, not guilty. Don't declare the wicked righteous. Then on what basis can God do what He prohibits man to do? On this basis. In order for God to make a sinner right with Himself, God must deal with what was wrong with that sinner. And if you are a sinner who's been made right with God, and you know there was a time in your life when you were a sinner and you're separated from God, and you've been brought into right relationship with God, please listen to what happened in order for you to be right with Him. Two things. First of all, He had to deal with what was wrong with you. You know what was wrong with you? You were a sinner who had sinned. You were a sinner who had sinned. How many of you remember when you were a sinner who had sinned? Separated from God. In order for God to declare you right with Him, He had to deal with what was wrong with you. And what was wrong with you is you were a sinner. And because you had sinned and disobeyed Him, there was a penalty that you were required to pay. And the penalty that you were required to pay was death. You had to die. You listening to me? You had to die. Not just spiritually, and not just physically, but eternally. You had to face the consequence of your disobedience. And the consequence of your disobedience is this. You had to be separated from God I had a debt that I had to pay. But if I paid this debt, there's no hope for me. Because the death I would die, the separation I would face, would be eternal. I'd be separated from Him forever and ever and ever as a just consequence of my disobedience. You know what God did to make you right with Him? He dealt with all that. He dealt with every sin you have ever committed, will commit today, and will commit for the rest of your life. Every sin you and I have, will, or will ever commit, God dealt with 2,000 years ago in His Son on a cross when He put our sin on Jesus. Can I tell you what Jesus did? He died my death. He literally died my death. Please hear, Brother Ricky. I mean no harm with this statement, but you just got to understand, it just irks me. Do y'all know what it means to irk somebody? I don't mean to offend you if you've used this statement before, but I do not believe at all that to be justified means that God treats us as if we had never sinned. That's a cute little turn on the word justified. Just as if I had never sinned. That is a lie. I did sin. I sinned big time. And you know what God did? God judged me, a sinner, in His Son, Jesus Christ. God does not treat me as if I had not ever sinned. God knows I sinned. But He dealt with my sin. He didn't turn His eye from me. He turned His wrath fully on me in His Son, Jesus. But it was not me paying my debt. It was Jesus paying my debt and paying your debt that day on that cross. Do you get it? Everything Satan brings to your attention that you've done wrong, it's already been dealt with by God. He paid your debt. Wow. That is absolutely unbelievable that God would pay my debt. I can't tell you how many times I've been at a restaurant, I've been eating, and I get to the cashier, or I wait for the lady to bring me my check, and she never brings me my check. And finally, when I ask for it, she says, well, somebody's already paid it. And I'm shocked. Feels good. I have actually had people pay other people's debts before, like at a restaurant, and then the person whose debt was paid say something like this to the person who paid the debt. Well, if I'd known you was going to pay my debt, I'd ate more. Or I'd ordered the steak. No, you wouldn't have. You'd have done just what you did because you ordered what you wanted. See, one of the biggest misunderstandings of people understanding that God paid our debt at no cost to us is this understanding. Well, if I'd known God was going to forgive me all my sin, I'd sin some more. No, you would not have. When you understand the high cost it cost God's Son to die your death, you are repentant and sorry for the sin you sin. Amen. Please hear me this morning. The reason this link of justification is so strong is because you will never die the death you deserve to die. Christ died it for you. When He died that death, He dealt with every sin in your life and the sin of all humanity. The scandal of Christianity. But there's a second part of justification that sometimes we don't think about. See, in order for God to deal with us and grant to us a right relationship with Him who is holy and just, not only did God have to deal with our disobedience, God also had to deal with our obedience. See, the law doesn't give you a second chance, does it? The law gives you one time to get it right. God absolutely demands perfection. You know what scares most people about getting saved? If you give them time to really think about it before they get saved, it's not the fact that God could forgive them of what they have already done. It's the fact that once I get saved, I don't think I'll be able to live the life. Therefore, if I can't live the life, then maybe I will not be right with God and I could become unright with God again. Are you listening to me? See, here's what you need to remember. Christ, to satisfy the just demands of a holy God, died your death because you were disobedient. But He also knows you must be obedient, but you can't. And in order to satisfy that requirement of God, He lived your life for you. Did you get that? Before He died your death, He had already lived your life. Wow. See, the only reason Jesus could offer Himself on the cross is because He had lived His life in place of each one of us and met the just demands of the law and condemned sin in the flesh. So that we who are brought into a right relationship with God might through the Spirit fulfill all the righteous requirements of the law. Do you get it? See, when God justified you, He didn't worry about the life you were going to live because Christ not only died your death, He had already lived your life. There's two aspects of being justified, being made right with God. Your death has already been died, and your life has already been lived in Christ. Therefore, when God took Jesus on the cross, He imputed. He took all of your sin, put it on Christ, and on that cross, Christ became your sin. And God judged your sin, but in judging Christ for your sin, He took Christ's righteousness and He gave it to you. And He clothed you in the righteousness of Christ, both His passive righteousness that was required for His death and His active righteousness that was required in the life He lived. And you now stand right with God in Christ Jesus. And some of us listen to the devil and make him believe we just don't feel right. What does your feelings have to do with anything? By a declaration of the Judge of Heaven, a covenant-keeping God, He has once and for all settled the matter and He has declared you, a sinner, are right with Him. Let's pray. Father, wow, double wow, triple wow. God, I understand why when Martin Luther came to this understanding, he couldn't be shut up. Father, I understand why he worked feverishly to translate the Bible from the Latin that the church leaders had into German so that the German nation could hear the wondrous truth that justification is not an act of man in cooperation with your action, but justification is an act of you alone. Oh God, what a teaching. That is not based on any righteousness I have. It's not based on any activity of me, but by an act of you. You declare me righteous. And when you declare me righteous, it's an actual righteousness that I have, not of me, totally outside of me, coming from my Savior, Jesus Christ, to me. Therefore, you clothe me in the righteousness of Christ. And in Christ I stand. In Christ my hope is found. In Christ alone am I in a right relationship with you. So, Father, from this day on, I refuse to let Satan believe me that I can be unright with you, because there is no charge anyone, even Satan, can bring about me that will cause me to be unright with you, because you dealt not only with my past, you not only dealt with my present, you dealt with my future. You not only forgave me, you freed me. And when you brought me into a right relationship with you, it changed who I was. The act of justification was declared upon a sinner, me a sinner. But the result of justification, oh, it changed my life. And God, I thank you for each one of us here this morning whose life has been changed. Justified. Righteous in Christ. Not just as if I hadn't sinned, in spite of my sin, I am right with you. Because you foreknew me, you predestined me, you called me, and you made me right. God, thank you for putting into my account not my sin, but the righteousness of Christ, both His death and His life. the death has been died and the life has been lived. Wow. Father, we're going to pause before you right now. Father, I do not know if you're working in anybody's life to convict them, either of being a sinner or maybe of a believer who just does not appreciate their right relationship with you. God, right now we're going to wait before you. We're going to ask our counseling men and women if they just watch. And right now, Father, if anyone needs counseling, if they'll just slip up here to the front and they'll stand up here beside me, a counselor will slip out of their seat and meet them here. Or Father, maybe somebody just wants to come to the step area of this church and fall on their face before God and thank you for your activity in making us right with you through the death and life of your Son, Jesus Christ. Anyone right now want to respond to the leadership of God's Spirit in your life? Have you shed once for all that works righteousness mentality and understand you are righteous on the basis of the work of another? Somebody else died your death. Somebody else has already lived your life. And that's where you must put your faith. You see how justification by faith? It's a turning from trusting in myself to a full trust in Jesus Christ. Anyone else? While we wait on these and give them time to slip back to their chairs, anyone else want to respond to God's Word? Father, thank you. In Christ's name, we thank you. And if the world wants to declare us like Martin Luther a heretic, so be it. But like him, we will not recant this teaching. That justification is a gift of you through grace alone, through Christ alone, through faith alone. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. We certainly hope that you've enjoyed our regular Sunday morning worship service from Hardin Baptist Church. We are so glad that you joined us this morning and hope that you'll come back each and every Sunday morning, either by radio here on 90.5 FM on WVHM, or you can join us live in the sanctuary of Hardin Baptist Church, Highway 641. Now, on every Sunday morning, we have three opportunities for you to come and worship with us here at Hardin Baptist. On Sunday mornings, we have a service that begins at 8 a.m., another service at 9:15 a.m., and then also another one at 10:30 a.m. At each of these services, Brother Matt Sullivan and our Hardin Baptist Church worship team, praise choir, and band join together and lead the congregation in a mix of contemporary and traditional praise and worship songs and hymns. It's a wonderful time as we gather together and worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then, of course, Brother Ricky Cunningham brings us a powerful message each and every Sunday at Hardin Baptist Church. We do hope that you've enjoyed the message this morning. If you need any more information about the church family at Hardin Baptist, feel free to give us a call anytime at 270-437-4868. That's 270-437-4868. Thanks again for joining us this morning, and check us out online to find out more about Hardin Baptist Church and to download your favorite sermons at www.hardinbaptist.org.